Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for the amount of information you're going to receive tonight. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember that the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And without your support, we cannot continue our mission amongst ourselves and with you as allies and expand our mission worldwide to even greater extent in the media to help fight for and restore our constitutional republic and freedoms. We are faced with an ever-growing enemy of socialism that is intent on taking away almost all personal freedoms worldwide. You must get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Now, don't forget about our conference 2007 in August. All the details are on the website, speaking schedules, payment schedules, details, location. Go to our website, hourofthetime.com, or call if you need some more help, or email me if you need some more help. But go to our website, hourofthetime.com, and simply look at conference 2007, that page. And be sure to read it before you call. Don't call saying, well, where is it at? I don't see it. It says right at the top, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Every year, the conference is a once-in-a-lifetime event. The classes change. It's structured so that a person can build year after year on their knowledge base and research base. You won't get a package like this anywhere else, and definitely not for this low price. All-inclusive meals, study materials, all your binders, everything that you take home, even. CDs, DVDs, classroom materials. Besides all the knowledge and skills and the allies and contacts that you make from around the nation. Everyone from new attendees to people who have been with the Hour of the Time or in the research branches since the very beginning. So be sure to look there. We have some spots open. Some people's payments did not come through. They know that. We've talked. It's an okay deal. Some people's plans have changed based on new jobs, etc., moving unexpectedly. So there are some seats open. You better jump on them. You still have plenty of time to arrange your travel, work schedules, what have you. If you miss out on this, ladies and gentlemen, You're missing out again on a once-in-a-lifetime event. Every year is like that. And you have no one to blame but yourself. We've been advertising this since February. You've had plenty of time. A lot of you now are waiting till the last minute. That's fine, as long as you get your end done. It just makes it harder on you. I don't see the point in waiting for so long. Now, in about a week, all of the information packets, because I don't do multiple mailings on those, excuse me, we never have, all the informational packets will be going out to all paid attendees. These have everything from guides to the areas, travel routes, schedules, maps, everything you can think of, more than you'll need. It's a huge packet of information sent in an 8.5 by 11 envelope. Those will go out in about a week, week and a half. We're shooting for the 20th, so that's next Wednesday. So don't worry about that. It's all going out. Rooms will not be an issue for you. We have arrangements for discounts and open spots available if you need lodging. Many people opt to just camp out at various places. Some people drive a van or rent a van and they camp out in that. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we do not arrange your lodging. If we were to arrange your lodging as well, everybody would be in one spot, which that makes some people uncomfortable, and rightly so. And secondly, it would make the cost incredible. So if the guy who may want to save money and just camp out, or may choose to camp out for enjoyment, he wouldn't have that opportunity. So that's why we do not arrange your lodging. In a subsequent broadcast, as we get closer to the conference, via Christian Media Network, Radio Free Vermont, and our podcast, we'll give you more details on appropriate clothing, etc., for the activities outdoors, for the weather conditions, for the nighttime activities, etc. So you must keep in contact, listen to the broadcast, and stay in tune. We have private caterers, so it's secure. We know them personally. We've used them before. And besides being secure and good people, it's excellent food. The facilities are completely private and our own. We have security already established inside and outside the facilities. And we even have medical support in case someone had a medical problem. We work hard here at the Hour of the Time to make this an enjoyable experience, not just a sheer classroom experience. There's indoor and outdoor activities that cover a variety of topics on purpose to pique almost anyone's interest. We bring you authors and speakers that you won't get anywhere else under one roof. So ladies and gentlemen, again, go to the website, hourofthetime.com, look at Conference 2007, and if you need some, have a few special questions, etc., give me a call, 928-333-2942. If I'm not in the studio, simply leave a message, I'll get back with you, or email, better yet, at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now ladies and gentlemen, this evening's broadcast is the Minuteman Part 3. The Minuteman Part 3. This is a very important series, ladies and gentlemen. You need to understand, pay attention, and listen to the facts. You need to get involved. In the not-too-distant future, our country will be fully engaged with both a foreign and domestic enemy presence, whose only goal is to usurp our Constitution, take away our freedoms, and our American way of life. Your property, your children, your jobs, your wealth, your food. So if you want to go to a concentration camp and never see your children again, or see them shot in the back of the head, then don't listen. But if you want to do something to stop encroaching socialism, then take notes. And as we get further on this series, there'll be some special offers for you to get even more involved, including test packets, etc., to refine your skills based on each phase of this instruction. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this information you won't get anywhere else. So remember to support the hour of the time. So right now we're going to go to a musical break. I want you to get your pens, pencils, what have you, notebooks ready. Take notes, keep them organized. There'll be a brief recap of Minuteman Part 2. And then we'll continue on with new information in this episode, Minuteman Part 3. Again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Website, hourofthetime.com. Tonight's broadcast, Minuteman number 3. Brief recap of Minuteman number 2. You learned some of the key principles. The principles of deliberate delay. The principles of provocation. And the principles of natural allies. In the last broadcast, we also learned the difference between two fields of intelligence and intelligence gathering. Espionage, which includes all legal means of obtaining information, such as wiretapping, interception of mail, stealing of documents, secretly photographing records, infiltrating spies into enemy organizations, bribing or blackmailing individuals of the enemy apparatus, and research and analysis, which included the careful and systematic search of all newspapers, magazines, trade journals, house organs, political pamphlets, books, public records, and for the purpose, remember to shift a few proverbial needles of valuable intelligence from the haystacks of general information. Remember the figures? Professional intelligence organizations obtain about 95% of their information from research and analysis and only about 5% from espionage. Espionage proves most effective when there's a specific mission and goal in mind. Then we went on to various techniques of effective research. Every Minuteman and researcher must be constantly alert for useful information in the general news media, radio, TV, magazines, etc. And each researcher, Minuteman, should have a specific field, one specific field, which he specializes in, and give special attention. We gave examples. Publications from socialist organizations. Maybe someone studies the newest ways of electronic eavesdropping and surveillance. Maybe another person studies escape and evasion so that information can be used by the Minuteman force to defend our country from invasion, internally and externally. Each area of Minuteman should have just one person that carefully reads the local newspapers and publications for the local area, looking for environmental consortiums, business conglomerates, socialist meetings, so-called peace demonstrations, and also look for expressions demonstrated by public officials, educators, businessmen, etc., either pro or anti-socialist. Now to continue on today, under effective research, you need to be specific as possible. Look for details. If it's technical equipment that's being discussed, try to include blueprints, drawings, photographs when possible. Don't expect your fellow Minutemen and upper echelons to be mind readers. Continually ask yourself these questions. Would this information be of value to the national headquarters, to individual agents, to other members, to other Minuteman, to the technical specialist? Avoid editorial opinions and general news items, as these are of little use and needlessly swamp and bog down your efforts. Do as much work locally as you possibly can. If a given person is local, look them up in a phone book, cross-index them via the internet. Be sure that they are where they are. They work where they you claim they work. Their views are what they claim, they, what you claim they are. One good organizational way to do this, even in this computer age, and it's much more secure, is on index cards. Have you some files? Have you some recipe boxes? You can get them at a dollar store, what have you. Index cards cost nothing. And start creating files. Maybe a box for eavesdropping, a box for groups, a box for upcoming events, a box for persons. When asked to send in information, send it in on these same index cards. You can clip pages of magazines, news articles, or send copies. If you're outlining a given book, give a brief outline and include the important facts with the page numbers and where referenced. Always state your source. Always state your source. Now, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, down the road we'll be giving you some very special offers for those of you who want to get proactively involved in the Minuteman movement. And if you choose to do that, this section on intelligence and research and analysis and the techniques of effective research also has testing included, which again includes work outside of the basic broadcasting here. We always encourage outside research. Now remember, with the computer, I know some of you don't have that, but with the computer, there is a ton of informational databases available. For instance, you can even get a 5-disc set that includes over 100 million phone numbers and addresses that even accommodates a reverse search. There is no excuse for the Minuteman of today not knowing what's going on around him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, after this brief musical break, we're now going to enter Phase 3 Security. Gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with Minuteman number 3 broadcast. with your host here, Doyle Shamlin, in Eager, Arizona. Moving on to the next phase, security. Security and intelligence can be considered two sides of a coin. In one way, they are opposites, yet they are always connected one to the other. The security forces of each side, foreign and domestic enemies of our country, and the Minuteman movement will continuously try to protect the secrets which the intelligence forces of the other side are continuously attempting to discover. Any student of military history or history in general can point out countless cases where major battles, entire wars, campaigns have been lost by faulty security. Proper security measures are obviously of great importance to conventional military forces, but they are infinitely more important to unconventional forces, the Minuteman, patriotic movements, guerrilla operations, espionage networks. Although a belligerent nation may suffer a great loss because of poor security, as in our own, it's hard to imagine a situation where a nation's defenses could be completely overwhelmed by a single security leak. But that's not the case with unconventional forces, which you will be part of. The socialist infiltration which has taken place in this country and which is planning an outright usurpation of our constitutional rights and freedoms, as well as in Canada and in South America and countries all over the world, can be totally annihilated, the underground forces that is, the unconventional forces, the Minuteman, as a result of a single security leak. In a hot war situation where freedom, constitutional Minuteman, resistance movement is operating within the country to protect their communities, churches, neighborhoods, states, country, from enemy forces, a band working around can be trapped and completely wiped out because of a single clue that gave away their location to an enemy army. And there's other aspects that people don't even consider. Unburied garbage can attract birds and animals to a guerrilla campsite, and birds can attract enemy soldiers. A carelessly dropped cigarette butt, scrap of paper on a trail can give away the direction of travel. And more than once, an entire network has been rounded up because of some seemingly unimportant piece of information casually passed from one friend to another in idle conversation. Very seldom, ladies and gentlemen, throughout history and in the times to come, will one conventional military force, as in an invasion from South America, China, have overwhelming superiority over another conventional military force. However, such is not the case in conflict that will occur between the conventional military forces and underground resistance movements. Almost always, the conventional forces have to have necessary strength in men and equipment to easily round up and destroy the underground forces anytime they can learn their identity and location. That is a key premise for a conventional military force. And guess what? You will be on the receiving end of that, defending our country. Thus, you can see that a Minuteman or unconventional underground force will have little or no defense potential in the usual sense of the word. Your only defense is secrecy. The only real defense of an underground movement is secrecy. And of individual agents, especially the espionage agents that would come up from an underground or Minuteman movement to fight an enemy, occupying army, or domestic enemies that have organized and made their strike, secrecy is your only defense. Good security begins with a clear understanding of the kind of information which the enemy intelligence will be trying to learn about you or your organization. A national government, a major military force, an underground army, an espionage agent, each will have different types of secrets which he must protect. Thus, each will place major emphasis on certain types of security measures. A national government, for instance, must keep secret its diplomatic alliances, secret treaties, military plans, industrial potential, etc. Conventional military forces must keep secret their strength, tactics, immediate and long-range strategy, movements, weaponry, reserve potential, troop morale, and physical fitness. They must also keep secret the type and extent of information which their own intelligence staff has or has not learned about their enemy. And hence, these are also the weak points of both. An underground patriotic resistance movement to defend our country. A Minuteman movement must keep secret, one, their plans and methods of operation. Two, their capabilities for movement and transportation. Three, the location, strength, and organization of underground forces. Four, the source of arms, food, and other supplies. Five, available reinforcements. Six, any contacts they have or may have with other resistance groups or friendly military forces. Seven, identity of friendly supporters in the general population, maybe not active Minuteman members, but friendly supporters. And that usually falls in the line of the previously covered category of food, medical, etc. Location identity of individual members of the Minuteman movement, as well as the location or identity of their families or close friends. Locations of hideouts, base camps, storage areas, supply depots, etc. Codes, signals, passwords, and lines of communications. Most important of all, the Minuteman movement or underground resistance movement fighting an enemy must keep secret the extent and possible success of their own intelligence agents. Oftentimes, underground resistance movements fighting for their country's freedoms have to spread rumors and false information to confuse enemy intelligence regarding the attitude of local inhabitants, current political and economic conditions, location and identity of underground leaders, health and sanitation conditions. Individual security, ladies and gentlemen, is most important of all. The reason being that good organizational security begins with good personal security. A chain is no stronger than its weakest link. Remember that. The individual member of an underground resistance movement must, if he hopes to survive, do one of two things. If he is living under his own name, then he must keep his political beliefs to himself, and he must keep his underground activities and associations absolutely secret. If the members' underground associations are known or strongly suspected, then his only alternative is to adopt a completely new identity, occupation, and environment. The individual espionage agent has these same two choices available to them, but the need for complete deception is even greater. There is none more completely defenseless than the individual espionage agent once his security has been compromised. And while speaking of personal security, ladies and gentlemen, is a 24-hour-a-day job. To some people, individual security measures will come almost instinctively. Others out there, maybe yourself, you will find these measures very hard to develop. Each individual's own habits and personality traits will have considerable effect on his attitude towards various precautions or personal security. We could discuss the techniques of shadowing, wiretapping, photographic surveillance, etc., but this will be taken up later as part of technical tools of counter-espionage. Good personal security is not so much a matter of technical skill as it is a certain frame of mind, a proper mental attitude. Some general guidelines. 1. The successful espionage agent will develop the habit of stopping to think what he is about to say before he actually says it. A slip of the tongue may mean his life. He avoids idle chatter and casual conversations because experience has proven that it is during such times as these that his guard is down and that the individual agent is most apt to give himself away. There is another good reason why every member of an anti-socialist or anti-communist organization should avoid loose talk. Each of us must strive to develop the qualities of leadership that will be required for us in the fight that is ahead. One requirement of leadership is to hold the respect of your associates. It is truly said that familiarity breeds contempt. It might be added that nothing breeds familiarity quite as fast as a long, rambling, useless conversation. 2, a good espionage agent will avoid becoming overly familiar with other people. He will be friendly but not too friendly, cordial but not intimate. This condition, which is often referred to as psychological distance, is not easily explained, but it can be very important. For example, consider a scenario where an agent is asked a seemingly harmless question by some friend or casual acquaintance. Quite unknowingly, however, this friend may have touched on some subject which the individual agent prefers not to discuss. He has 3 alternatives. A, he may answer the question truthfully and risk giving out confidential information. B, he may give a false answer and risk being caught in a lie. C, he may evade the question and risk creating suspicion. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, it would be much better to avoid such questions in the first place. The person who has developed the art of maintaining a psychological distance between himself and other people need not be considered snobbish or aloof, but he is sufficiently reserved in his speech, action, and mannerisms that people just naturally hesitate to ask him idle questions. He has already let others know in a dozen ways that they are to respect his privacy. There are other advantages as well. Proper development of psychological distance will afford the agent considerable privacy without his actually trying to avoid people. He is not troubled with people who simply pop in on him unannounced. His friends don't feel that they need to actually phone for an appointment, but they always do give him the courtesy of calling before they come over, just to make sure he's not busy and to make sure he's going to be in. Just how do you go about developing psychological distance? We could give specific suggestions as how to discourage people from asking questions or calling on you unannounced. But this would actually oversimplify the situation. What we mean by psychological distance, ladies and gentlemen, is best achieved by maintaining the quiet reserve in speech, actions, and general demeanor that is the mark of personal dignity. Three, if the aged doesn't already have a suspicious mind, then he must develop one. Nothing can be taken for granted or accepted at face value. Seemingly accidental meetings with other persons must be considered as to whether or not they are really accidental, or if they might have been planned by someone else. The speech, actions, and apparent motives of other people must always be tested against the basic rules of logic and accepted norms of human behavior. Four, the agent must develop social awareness. He must really learn what makes people tick, how they think and why they act as they do. A socially aware person is considerate of other people's feelings and tolerant of their beliefs. This is certainly a big help in winning friends and allies and influencing people. It has, however, a more important effect. The socially aware person comes to expect other people to act according to certain logical behavioral patterns. Thus, they are quick to note any suspicious or unusual behavior on the part of others that does not logically fit the circumstances. Such awareness may prevent the agent from being purposely deceived or perhaps alert him to a trap before the jaws snap shut. Five, the underground member or espionage agent must always assume that he is under suspicion. He must be careful that he is not followed when going to meet other peoples or members of his organization, no matter how innocent the planned meeting might be. He must be guarded in his use of the telephone. It used to be the federal government couldn't legally tap your telephone without a court order. But it didn't mean it wasn't done. And now they don't even need a court order, according to them. Right now, for instance, there are over 11 different U.S. agencies that routinely use telephone monitoring, as they call it, in their contacts with ordinary citizens. The individual agent must be cautious in his use of the mail. For over 200 years, the mail of American citizens has been considered to be their own personal business. The contents of first-class letters mailed in one part of the United States for delivery in another part were strictly confidential. However, several years ago, the Postal Department began a practice known as mail cover. A mail cover for any individual or company may be requested by the Justice Department, Internal Revenue, and many other government agencies. This simply means the post office keeps a record of all persons to whom you send mail or from whom you receive mail. This was entirely done simply from the address and return address on the outside of the envelope. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, for some time now, the government has adopted a new attitude towards first-class mail. They now contend that all mail while in the possession of the Postal Service becomes the property of the Postmaster General to open, read, reroute, as he or his agent see fit. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't mean quit using the mail or quit writing. Just don't be an idiot, like we had one particular one that would write in, and for some unknown reason, on the outside of his envelope, he would write in bold marker, order and monies enclosed, on the outside of the envelope. I simply took him as an ignorant fool, until one day the local postmaster approached me and said, if you have contact with this gentleman in return mail, you might want to tell him not to do that. He told me he wasn't worried about his local employees, which I'm not either, but it goes through so many hands and so many drivers between him and me that who knows what could happen. I don't know what the ignorant buffoon was thinking, but he used to do it. And when I asked him to quit doing it, he still did it. So I cut off correspondence with him. If you're too dumb to listen and learn, ladies and gentlemen, don't deal with me, because I don't want to deal with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a slight musical break here and then return on with another section here, which I think you'll thoroughly enjoy as well. And remember, keep your notes up. And remember, you're listening to the Hour of the Time, listener-supported, with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. The Minuteman, number 3 tonight. Don't forget our conference 2007. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and look at the conference 2007 page. Now, there are some principles, ladies and gentlemen, of unit and personal security. Security often being thought of as secrecy, but this doesn't tell the whole story. Many things have been shrouded in secrecy, yet at the same time lacked real security. The best example in the last century in this country could be considered the Manhattan Project during World War II. It was so secret that most people who worked there didn't know what the project was about or what they were trying to do as a whole. But in the face of this great shroud of secrecy, Russian intelligence agents cracked the security of the Manhattan Project and thus walked off with the secrets of the atomic bomb. First, the principles of deception. Complete deception is indispensable to the success of these covert operations. That's a quote from Command Publications. Colonel Virgil Nye, Notes on Guerrilla War. In the first condition of being a resistance member and maintaining normal and usual attitudes and characteristics, the basic requirement is to be a good actor or pretender in addition to some historic skill. This condition calls for quick wits, ready answers, and often high mobility. The principles of classifying all information. Information means all communications, whether spoken or written. It is anything about the personnel, movement, aims, objectives, and means employed that would aid the enemy. All information should be classified into one of the following five groups. In mostly all cases concerned, these five groups will serve the needs of an underground organization, movement, fighting for their country's freedom. Top secret. This security classification is reserved for the most important records and communications. Records carrying this classification are available only with consent in writing, signed by at least two different members of the security division of the underground unit. Communications of this classification are to be read only by the person or persons they are specifically addressed to, then destroyed. This classification should be reserved to only the most important information, where its interception might result in the death of some member, or where vital plans, programs, or data would be compromised. Care should be exercised. This classification is not used needlessly, otherwise it will lose its value. Secret. This classification is used for records, communications, and information relating to current organizational activities, plans, or personnel. Secret communications are to be used in code if given over the telephone or by mail, unless it is certain that both the sending and receiving addresses are secure. Otherwise, they must be delivered in person or by courier. Restricted. This is the normal classification for advanced training materials and routine organizational correspondence. Classified. This is used for preliminary training material, correspondence to provisional members, and literature not meant for public distribution. And non-classified would be meant for literature, for public information and distribution, and recruitment. Three, the principles of obedience. All members must abide by the rules that are adopted by the underground organization concerning security. And this also includes the classification that any information is assigned on the national level. Before any band makes a public statement, writes a letter to the editor, or any other public manifestation, it should be cleared through a chain of security. This could be a county security, a district security, state security, regional or national security officer. To keep red tape to a minimum, the national and regional security officers furnish the state security officer with guidelines. and allow them to make decisions on the local level. In all cases, the lower levels of command must abide by the decisions made in higher headquarters. If anyone disobeys, they jeopardize all involved. For the principle of continued inspection. Why continually inspect, ladies and gentlemen? Because people change. The biggest thieves are usually trusted with very large responsibilities. The trustworthy person today may be dishonest tomorrow. Proof of the above is seen in every embezzlement case. Not only do people change, but places, things, and measures change in their security value. Give any halfway intelligent espionage network enough time and they will crack the security of any organization that does not continually inspect its people, places, and things, and measures. Eternal vigilance is the price of absolute security, and these principles are true for both sides. 5. The principle of avoiding attention. One way for an individual, band, or movement to die a quick and sure death is to attract undue attention to itself prematurely. The most effective underground movements are unknown to the enemy until they have enough strength and support to inflict damage to the enemy and to sustain their continuance. Premature commitment is the finest help the resistance can give the enemy in his effort to liquidate those who would fight. Regardless of the temptation to rush into combat with all that is available in weapons and manpower, this desire must be resisted. From Travis Ingham, Rendezvous by Submarine. In other words, the ability to keep out of the clutches of the enemy's secret police or agents is the first primary mission of the resistor, insofar as basic personal security is concerned. Colonel Virgil Nye, Notes on Guerrilla Warfare, page 154. And I'm giving you these sites for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. Outside work. 6. The principles of fluid change. This is best seen in often changes in the locations of meeting places, weapon caches, etc. This same principle can be applied to organization. Think of a local organization as a cell with different members. The enemy intelligence finds out that the cell in question exists. But before they can penetrate the security of the cell, it becomes non-existent by using the principle of change. This is done by using a shotgun type of scatter technique, or splitting the cell to form other cells with the same and additional functions. It is not necessary for members to change locations. You can see this principle in nature all the time, in herds. Or look at a covey of quail, how it scatters. The idea is to scatter, reorganize in different groups, and reach functionality one step ahead of enemy intelligence. This principle is necessary because, if given enough time, proper intelligence can crack the security of any organization. It means to remain fluid. So old security measures must be constantly replaced with additional new security measures that are just as effective and better than the old ones. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wrap up tonight's broadcast with that. I hope you took good notes. And remember, because we are listener-supported, you can simply donate for these broadcasts and then listen to them over and over again on CD or MP3 format. We're doing specially reduced pricing on these broadcasts because of the importance of the material. And study it. Listen to it over and over again. Maybe one of your local members had not the opportunity to hear Part 3. You can study it together at a meeting. I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. And remember again, listen every evening to the hour of the time.